We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome to the RotoWire Prospect Podcast. I'm your host, James Anderson. Fortunate to be joined this week by Nate Handy, who is doing some really awesome work on pitching prospects for Pitcher List. You can follow him on Twitter at Pitching Specs. And Nate, really appreciate you taking the time to join me. How you doing?
Oh, I'm doing all right. Thanks for having me, and thanks for always appreciating and supporting my work. And I apologize to your listeners if I sound like John C. Reilly with a clothespin on my nose. I went on Welsh's podcast, who has been sick on and off for, I don't know, he says since December. And what do you know? I got some crud. So maybe I should be wearing a mask here. I don't know. Have you been exposed to the Welsh virus lately?
No, I unfortunately haven't seen Welsh in a while. But no, I listened to that episode. That was great. I don't think we're going to be doing too much crossover, if any at all. So, yeah. You know, first I just want to kind of say just how impressive like the work you've been doing is over at Pitcher List. I think it's such a kind of crowded space right now in terms of analyzing prospects for fantasy. And I think that you did something that anyone really could have done this if they were willing to sort of take the time and have the passion for it. But I think you really kind of found an area that was nobody was really doing what you're doing right now in terms of analyzing full starts of minor league pitchers. I think you're sort of the preeminent pitching prospect video scout in the public space right now. Do you want to kind of just tell the listeners sort of exactly what you've been doing all season long, the article that you release once a week, and what all goes into that?
Yeah, sure. Well, thank you. Some kind words there. I think, like you said, I mean, anyone can do what I'm doing if you put the time in. Just not everyone has the time like I do to watch a guy pitch a game and sort of share some observations about it. I try to cut up videos and share observations, because a lot of the stuff that I try to, I don't know, shed some light on or learn about is somewhat part of a conversation with pitching prospects that I think, you know, might be overall just lacking a little bit, you know, because it is harder to get. And you know how a guy is executing his pitches from outing to outing, and which pitches are there for him outing to outing and stuff like that. I mean, you can't really look at a spreadsheet to get an idea of some of that. So what I've been doing is I watch anywhere from 1 to 4 outings a day and put out a weekly article on, you know, just what I saw. And that drops on Monday mornings on Pitcher List.
Like every week you're, you know, you're watching starts on half dozen or so pitching prospects who, and I think what's really cool is, you know, it's not like you're just like, I watch Daniel Espino and Grayson Rodriguez and here's what I think about them. You know, like you're like, if I ever have like a question about a pitching prospect that there isn't any sort of public scouting data on, I'll be like, Nate, have you like watched this guy yet? And because there's just, it's just kind of the nature of pitching prospects where there are guys that are just going to pop up that are available in every single dynasty league that pop up every year and can be big risers on prospect rankings that people maybe didn't know anything about 3 weeks ago. And then all of a sudden people are just pumping them up all over Twitter and stuff. And you've kind of been leading the charge on some of my favorite guys from like the past year, you know, Reed Detmers, Aaron Ashby, Josh Winder, Caleb Killian. So like, I think just sort of when you put this time in, you're just naturally going to kind of notice things when you're watching these guys start sort of before a lot of the public sort of catches up. And so I just think it's really valuable what you're doing. And I think people need to be paying attention over at Pitcher List right now.
Oh, well, thanks. You know, it's I have my guy Justin Filto, I think is how you say his last name, over at Pitcher List, built me this awesome tool that spits out on a daily basis all of the lines, you know, of a starting outing or an extended relief outing. And, you know, there's anywhere from 145 to 180 of those a day. And I'll kind of peruse, you know, I'll have sort of a premeditated schedule of what I kind of want to watch, but I'll also look at that and just if something pops, try to look at it. But my point is the sea is so vast and large and that there's so much to watch. I mean, I'm watching 4 out of 150 a day, you know, but just trying to, you know, trying to explore a little bit. And there's a lot of talented guys, and pitching can, you know, it can change. It can be kind of fickle and sensitive, and, you know, a little tweak here, a new pitch there, can change a lot for guys, which is what makes it kind of fun for me.
Yeah. It's just, it's so much different to me than, analyzing hitting prospects. Like, I think you can, honestly, for a lot of hitting prospects, I think you can sort of scout them by just looking at the stats. And if you have enough data on a guy, it's going to tell you a lot. And with pitchers, there really is a lot to be gained from just watching a guy, seeing how the stuff plays, because we don't have as much data on these guys as we do with the big leaguers, obviously. I do, before we get to like a lot of these sort of diamonds in the rough, or just some of the bigger name guys still in the minors, let's talk about Reed Detmers. I mean, no-hitter yesterday. He's a guy that you and I were both very, very high on after last season. And honestly, I am still a little concerned because I feel like the curveball and slider just aren't getting the whiffs that I was expecting them to get this season. But he is doing some stuff quite well. I think you could watch that no-hitter and see that there were a lot of uncomfortable swings from those Rays hitters. He has been really good at limiting hits this year, has a 165 batting average against. You know, I don't think it's going to stay that low, but are you concerned at all? I guess we could talk about the no-hitter too if you want, but just what have you seen kind of on the good side and maybe on the slightly concerning said with Detmers so far this season compared to what he showed last year?
Yeah. Well, concerning, I want to use a little loosely, but I kind of thought the slider would maybe come along a little bit more, maybe have some better results with that. But what I love about Detmers and why I valued him in a dynasty sense is that I really like the foundation of his skills and who he is along his amateur career and continuing on into his major league career. Now he's a guy whose stuff has always kind of been questioned, you know, and he's always kind of answered that bell. But the foundation of being able to execute pitches, even some of the new stuff. And when his fastball ticked up, I consider that a new pitch. and being able to, you know, command that rather quickly is kind of where I base my value in Detmers. I, you know, all these guys, you're going to have to make adjustments. You're going to learn things about your craft along the way. I mean, you look at the, you know, the history of baseball, some of the best pitchers of all time didn't really find their big weapon until they got to the bigs. And so my bet on Detmers is that he's a crafter like that, and he's going to figure it out. And I like his chances of having a long, sustainable career as a starting pitcher.
Yeah, he is very crafty. He is very good at, like, one of the first things I noticed with him when I was analyzing him as a draft prospect was just how good he is at changing eye levels with hitters. And there seems to sort of be a purpose to every pitch he's throwing and how the next pitch is going to play off of that. And you're pretty advanced at that. I mean, right? Like, this is a guy that was drafted in 2020 and he just threw a no-hitter in the big leagues in the year 2022. So
I am good first-year player draft steal there.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And, I mean, I do still have – in today's game, I still think missing bats is the number one thing. Well, you know, command and control with missing bats, I think those are still, like, the two biggest things. And
That's what you want to find, right? Those are the holy grails, the guys who can mix both of those things. That's when you get, you know, your real juice.
And so I guess I don't know what to expect from the two breaking balls over the rest of the season, like, because it's still early. It's only been six starts for him. It wouldn't be crazy if all of a sudden, you know, he's getting a bit better feel for those breaking balls and landing them a bit better. And
the changeup was a thing last night.
Yeah.
That was nice to see.
And that was part of why a lot of those swings just looked really ugly and uncomfortable. Guys, just the timing was just way off on a lot of those swings. But I do think, you know, for him to be, you know, command control, crafty guys, that's great. I do think there is another level, and I'm just not sure if that'll be something he achieves this year with those. Because the slider and the curveball last year in the minors and even in the majors, even when he was struggling in the majors, they were whiff machines. And so he has to, if he can regain what he was getting from those pitches last season, all the other pieces are here, I think, for him to.
Yeah. You know, and part of, like, the offseason thing that I did is, and, you know, just recently in my dynasty playing philosophy, if you will, I'm kind of shifting gears a little bit with pitching stuff, in that, you know, innings pitched is starting to become just as valuable to me as strikeouts. And I'm really trying to get after and identify traits and things that I think will, you know, lead towards long sustainable careers as a starter. So I don't want to use, like, crafty, you know, that might have, like, a negative connotation, but I don't really see it too much that way. But you're right. If he's going to become an elite, you know, fantasy asset, he's got to get swing and miss.
Well, efficiency, like pitch efficiency. I think that's something that Detmers can excel in. So, and I mean, like, to your point, like, I think like Sandy Alcantara is, There's almost been too much of a backswing against him in some circles this year because he's not striking out a batter per inning. I love the fact that I can just bank on this guy for a ton of innings and really good ratios. And maybe he's not going to get me 230 strikeouts, but it's a rare breed these days where you just know he's going six innings almost every single time out and sometimes seven or eight.
Right. You know, it makes me wonder, and like, what if you put, like, prime Mark Burley into today's fantasy landscape? He'd have so much more value than he did, you know, during his time.
Yeah. Totally. Because it wasn't, it wasn't a rarity to have your starter go six plus innings.
Yeah, I mean, he was 30 starts, 200 plus innings every year, you know.
Another guy who definitely it's a good sort of segue, because I think the one knock on George Kirby for me is just, can he be that guy? Can he be a 180 inning guy? Because he hasn't come close to that yet, but still early in his career. He was drafted a year before Reed Detmers, and he just made his big league debut on Sunday. And he was basically as good as I expected him to be. Like, there's no concerns with George Kirby from a stuff, command, any of that. Like, I just think he's plug and play right away. Is that your take on it as well? Like, where it's just sort of, can he handle a true starter's workload, or do you have any other small concerns with Kirby?
No, yeah. I probably wasn't, the highest guy on Kirby coming into this season. But like you said, I think my biggest concern was more of a horsepower concern. And I know he had some injuries last year, or injury or whatever. But when I watched him, it was more, and there was other guys with some shoulder stuff and whatever. But he was kind of felt different to me, because through the course of an outing, when he started to get up in pitch counts or whatever, everything would just kind of tail off and get, more loose and less velocity. So that was a concern, and I know he gets lauded for having, plus command. But when he got like that, I wasn't really that impressed with it. So yeah. If he can prove to, sustain, I think it's going to be a chance for a really great asset, but I was just a little standoffish.
Yeah. I'm very encouraged, at least this year, that he had been on a more normal starter's schedule, because last year they really kind of had the training wheels on with him. It was 6 days, 7 days in between some starts, and that was with there being some shutdown periods due to nagging arm stuff. So the fact that this year it's been mostly a normal starter's schedule, or at least the type of schedule you'd expect most upper level pitching prospects to be on, that's encouraging that he's at least been on that schedule and held up through those six starts.
Yeah, very much.
Okay. Let's move to some of the guys who have yet to make their debuts, but we'll kind of go in almost descending order of how much I think people are going to freak out on them in Fab once they do get the call. Max Meyer kind of seems to be someone who's become a household name, even among people who don't play Dynasty and don't even necessarily follow the draft. Like, everyone's sort of aware of the fact that Max Meyer would be an upgrade over Eliezer Hernandez in the Marlins rotation. What's your take on Max Meyer and just sort of the upside this season and maybe how safe you've been?
Yeah. So, I think, From a developmental standpoint, I've watched a few outings this year. I don't really see like anything new going on right now. Like, I think it's just, okay, this is going to be it. This will be the, introductory Max Meyer to the big league. So in that aspect, I'm like, well, let's go pretty soon here. Let's see what it's like. Overall, I have to admit, he's somewhat of the profile. He is kind of the profile that I'm trying to steer away from a little bit more, value a little bit less. But there's a caveat with him, but one or two plus pitches thrown up there loosely towards the plate can put up some like really impressive minor league numbers. But I mean, we just recently saw with Matt Brash how, that doesn't really equate to the majors all that well. But one difference, I think, is I think I do see Meyer trying to split the plate. He shows with his fastball and that killer slider, that, especially against lefties, he's just going to drill you inside with those two pitches over and over, and these guys barely have a chance. So I think there's more pitching going on with Meyer than there was Brash. And I had them very differently and got questioned about that. It was very, very fair questions, and I had to think about that quite a bit. So he's not so much the profile that I'm like really kind of after, so to speak, but I do like his chances to sort of be more on the sort of cheat code end of the spectrum and just dominate some guys with a couple of big pitches. And the changeup does, he does like to bring that out later in outings. And I think there's some potential there with that pitch as well.
How big of a gap do you think there is between Meyer and Brash from a command standpoint?
I mean, I think it's significant. I don't think Meyer is like, you know, he's not, I wouldn't call him like a poster child. But there are outings that it gets loose and he's spiking a lot of sliders and whatever. But when he's got it, I think it's pretty good. It just, you know, splitting plate in thirds. Like I said, against lefties, he shows pretty dang good command with both those pitches. So I think it's significant at this point.
So the next guy that I think will be, big time fab prize here in a few weeks will be Grayson Rodriguez with the Orioles. And I think it's sort of the Orioles are probably, like, my guess has always been that they're going to just bring up Grayson and Adley right around the same time.
Yeah.
And that'll probably be, I don't know, around Memorial Day, something like that. If things were to be kind of bumpy for Grayson Rodriguez as a rookie, how would you see that happening? Or I guess sort of,
yeah,
does he have any flaws that you kind of have in the back of your head that you're a little worried about?
Yeah. I mean, I like to be picky. I could find a wart on anybody, but, the thing with Rodriguez, I mean, I don't deny the crazy upside, you know? But like when I watch and something you have to think about, sidebar for a second here, I saw a tweet that I think my friend at Prospect Report retweeted. It was Joe Mauer talking about his first MLB start. He was catching Brad Racke, who was this big command guy, right? And they asked, you know, how many of his four pitches do you think he has any given outing? Or how many outings a year do you think he has all four pitches? And he said like two or three. So I think and I see that with like Grayson Rodriguez, everyone talks about his four big pitches, but it's not like he's coming every day with all four of these things working real great and having a great feel for them all at the same time. That's a very hard skill. It's not a lot of guys can do stuff like that, you know? But I think he's still, you know, he still gets a little bit loose, and I'm just being very nitpicky. There are times that the breaking ball command, I think, isn't the greatest. You see some, I think last year in the championship series against Akron, I think they were just kind of sitting and waiting for some breaking balls, and I mean, it worked. They got to him pretty good. So always, I mean, when a guy goes from the minors to the majors, he's going to have to tighten everything up to have success. So, I don't know, that's just kind of where I am with him. I love it. Awesome. I think I had him number three. I'm just looking forward to watching him grow as a pitcher. He's got all the tools in the world.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
All right. So I think, unless you disagree, I feel like there is maybe a bit of a drop off from Meyer and Rodriguez to the next guys we're going to talk about. There certainly is in terms of perceived value. But the next thing I want to ask you about is Matthew Liberatore with the Cardinals, who, and we're going to talk about some other Cardinals here because you have a lot of positive things to say about a few Cardinals pitching prospects. And you actually have three Cardinals pitching prospects in your top 10 that we're going to be talking about. And it's top 10 outings that you watched that got you thinking about a player in a different positive manner. But of course, you've seen plenty of Liberatore before this season. So I don't think maybe you've seen anything that's been that different with him. But what do you think his readiness level is in terms of having success in the big leagues? Because he's been, I feel like he's been dominant in most of his starts, and there's been a couple hiccups. But
yeah,
obviously, that's a dream pitching scenario. I think coming up and joining the Cardinals rotation and pitching in that division, pitching in that ballpark with that defense behind you, like that's about as good as it gets in terms of a landing spot.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I was talking to Welsh last week. I do think that Liberatore is a little bit undersold. I think if you're looking just like at straight stats, you might not tell the greatest story about him. But you know, the Cardinals were pretty aggressive with him last year. What was he, 22 in AAA? And you could see him, you know, he took some lumps, and but I think you see him learning from that. And you know, the Cardinals are kind of tough loving with him. The arsenal, you know, there's plenty of pitchers there. I think it kind of wavers a little bit from outing to outing. I think especially the fastball, sometimes the fastball seems to be really effective. I mean, even when he's locating it well, it seems really effective, and other times not as much. But I do like his chances to sustain himself as a starter. I don't know if I'd be like, you know, putting him in my lineup right away when he comes up. It might be a little bit more of a slow burn with him. But I like Liberatore. I do agree that I think there's a significant drop off from those last guys.
Yeah, I think I'd been low on him for a while because I just didn't think the fastball was that great. But then Jeff Ponce had a lot of great things to say about how his slider has come along and where that pitch is right now.
Yeah. You know, and I think there's been like prudence with his development. You know, I think he could have easily been a guy in a lower level throwing one or two pitches up there and putting up some gaudy stats. But I think, you know, to his credit too, and the Cardinals, they've, you know, enriching the whole arsenal, I think, has been a priority. And, you know, that's big. There's a lot of guys who don't do that.
Yeah. And he's, you know, you got to be careful to not overreact to just, wow, he's got a 4.24 ERA. Right. You know, that's not a great pitching environment. He has career best strikeout and walk rates so far this season.
Yeah.
1.18 whip. And I think at the very least, he can come up and be a guy that you roll out there against the Pirates and the Cubs and the Reds. Yeah. And, you know, I think there's at least going to be some opportunities for him to have some pretty comfortable outings.
Yeah.
Do you think we see him, who out of those three, out of Rodriguez, Meyer, Liberatore, who do you think we see first?
I want to say Meyer. I mean, that's who I would bring up first. But the way that Cardinals like to roll with some of their young guys, I wouldn't be surprised if it's Liberatore.
Yeah, man, I think like I feel very confident in Grayson being up in about 3 weeks.
Yeah.
And then it's just a matter of can either of those other two beat that? And I feel like the calls for Meyer are obviously very loud. So it's just a matter
and that,
of...
that organization too has a history of throwing their young guys in at the major league level and letting them learn on the job like that too. So
yeah.
Yeah. Maybe we get all three of them on the same day. How would that be?
Well, I'd love it if we got, what if we got all three of them in the same week? And then the people that have to do these Sunday night fab biddings have to do.
Yeah. Extra tricky allocation of funds there.
Right. Yeah, that'd be fascinating. So these next two, I think are less household names, you know, maybe not the same pedigree as Meyer, Rodriguez, and Liberatore, but I like both these guys a lot. Hayden Wesneski with the Yankees, Caleb Killian with the Cubs. I did notice that Killian's fastball velocity is sort of back to where it was pre-Arizona Fall League, when he was really buzzing it up there in the upper 90s. I think he's been more kind of 94 this year. What have you seen from Wesneski and Killian?
Yeah. Well, those were both guys that were, you know, kind of very much off my radar until I went into the offseason and reviewed several of their starts, and both of them impressed me quite a bit. Wesneski, his stuff towards the back end of last year just continued to get more and more, you know, nasty looking, and just commanding the secondaries better and better. And then I haven't watched an outing of either of these guys this year, but I did see some stuff in the spring, and Wesneski looked even more nasty. And I believe last time I checked, he's been putting up some pretty good results. Killian he's a smooth cat. I wonder if, I didn't know that his velocity was down. Are we totally out of whatever he had going on up into that Arizona Fall League? Didn't he have a shoulder going on or something? But he was just a guy, you watch him, you get like 4 or 5 innings into a game, also you look up and you're like, man, there's like one hit and zero runs, and I'm not really totally sure how we got there. But, you know, painting edges, executing pitches at a very high level, both secondary stuff and power, beat you in a lot of different ways. You know, that level of hitter was pretty uncomfortable against him, and you know, he didn't relent often. And I liked I think he was a guy that was on the West Coast kind of doing these things for a little while, just not really seen. And then when the trade happened, everyone kind of realized how good he is.
Yeah, so I'm just going to pull up. I saw this from an article on Prospects Live by Jake Kearns, and he was sitting on a Iowa Cubs start against Indianapolis. I just want to make sure that I'm not putting out bad info there. So he was saying was touching 95 with the four-seamer. Did not reach back for 97 like he did last year. Two-seamer was 92 to 93.
That's all right. That's enough.
Yeah. Like that. That's sort of. That's part of what I think about Kirby. I almost liked Kirby more when he was before he got that velo bump, because. Yeah. It was just so easy. And I think whenever you see a guy add that velocity, it kind of introduces a little extra injury risk, in my opinion. Yeah. And then like with Killian, I think when all of his stuff's working, he doesn't need to be reaching back for 97, 98. Yes. But of course you do kind of need everything to be working when you're more 93, 95.
You know, you got to find that optimum velocity that, you know, is the happy medium between putting the ball where you want to and getting enough results. You know, I try to think about a lot of these guys is, all right, what's the likelihood when they hit their professional peak when they're in their late 20s or 30 years old or whatever it is, as much of a fool's errand that might sound like, you know, they're not going to be throwing 97, most likely. Some guys might, but, you know, a lot of these guys aren't going to be throwing 97, but that doesn't mean their 93 isn't super effective.
So with Wisniewski, I think he's still maybe one of the more underrated prospects out there. I think what Killian did in the AFL opened a lot of eyes. And so I think people are kind of coming around on him. And I also think the opportunity for Killian is obviously more obvious than it is with Wisniewski, because with the Yankees, you still have like Clark Schmidt waiting for a turn.
Yeah.
And then,
yeah, I won't lie. I have a little bit of a bias towards Yankees pitching prospects, just because I think it is so tough to break in and stay there. But that being said, I like him significantly more than, you know, Heal or Devi Garcia or those types.
I think I was too high on Heal before the year. I was in love with that fastball slider combo, and just I loved his mound presence. Sure. maybe that serves him well in a late inning role, but again, like, what's harder to break into, the saves mix in New York or the rotation in New York? Like Clay Holmes is maybe my favorite relief pitcher in baseball right now. I just think he's got the complete package, and he's not even getting regular saves. So
It's tough. And it's something that I think, if you want to, you know, wisely put dynasty value on things, you got to think about.
Right. I mean, the Yankees, like, they developed Luis Severino and Jordan Montgomery. But it does seem to be sort of every 2 years they might add a guy into the rotation from internally. It's not a thing that you can count on, and they trade a lot of these guys away, and maybe that'd be best for his value, Wisniewski, if he were to get dealt. But I think he's probably too good at this point for them to do that. With Killian, do you like, so I was sort of at the time of the Canario and Killian for Chris Bryant trade, I was sort of viewing him as kind of a lower ceiling, you know, maybe more like a number four. And then after watching him down the stretch last year, I completely changed my tune on that. And I was sort of like, you know, look, if this guy's going to be 95 with the fastball, with his secondaries and his command, like, what else would he need to do? You know, like, he could be a number two starter. Is that the type of upside you see with Killian if it all comes together, or is he more of kind of a mid to back rotation option?
No, I mean, for me, just kind of the context that I try to think about this, if we want to talk about, you know, one end of the spectrum being putting the ball where you want to at a high clip, and one end just having, you know, really good swing and miss stuff, and we want to try to find the middle, I mean, I think Killian kind of, you know, has that sort of potential to meet in the middle there. I want to value that. And if a guy's like that, if a guy's sitting there, I mean, whew, sky's the limit.
Yeah, and I know he hasn't had – it hasn't just been, you know, awesome start after awesome start after awesome start for Killian this year, but 64% ground ball rate for him too right now, which is really just outstanding. And, again, that division, I like – even if you're on one of the bad teams, that division, I like having pitchers.
Yeah. I haven't gotten to Killian yet. I was just kind of waiting. But we'll get there.
All right. So let's get to some of the guys that you have been really impressed by. Again, you release these articles once a week. And then at the bottom of each article, you've got this kind of running board of top 10. Basically, like, how would you describe what this top 10 means, like, your words?
Well, one, I want to thank you for actually getting down to the bottom of one of my articles and seeing that. I'm not sure how many folks have delved that deep, but yeah, so I just kind of for fun, just keeping a little top 10 viewed outings on the season for me. The criteria sort of being a guy who you know, showed something that got me thinking differently about him than I had in the past, or perhaps a new guy that has kind of put himself on the map in a big way for me. It's not necessarily I'm planning a bunch of dynasty value here, but just kind of for fun, who's the best looking dudes this year for one day?
Yeah, so I want to just start. I want to almost kind of go in order of like my perceived dynasty value for these guys, You can kind of, set me straight or agree or whatever. like Gavin Williams, you have at number 7. Coming into the year, I had him as a top 75 prospect. I want to say,
I think that's a good call.
Well, yeah, I mean, like, he's got sort of the, like Killian. I think there's like some sort of nuance involved in like what's this guy's upside. Gavin Williams is sort of the prototypical, like, this is what it looks like frontline upside type of guy to me.
Yeah.
What did you see in that start of his?
Yeah. So this was just his first start of the year. And the way that I'm kind of doing my thing is I'm not really starting with anybody until they get to full season ball. So if you're trying to get way ahead on Gavin Williams types, I'm not your guy, but so I watched his first start and man, I was super impressed. He's got a big fastball. He's got a killer breaking ball. He was putting them where he wants to, it seemed like, at a pretty high clip. But then I think my favorite part of that outing is he's dominating this lineup. He's getting into like the third inning or whatever. And then he started shaking off his catcher to throw changeups. And for me, I love seeing that sort of thing. I love guys trying to work on their craft using games to improve, improve their arsenal or improve themselves as a potential major league pitcher. He could have probably just blown some fastballs by some guys some more, but he decided to work on some things. I dig that very much.
So Gavin Williams, I assume he's healthy, but he probably, I mean, I don't know what he's really getting from being at high A anymore. He's got a 101 batting average against. So, fair to say that he's in complete control there. He has a 44% strikeout rate. He has an 0.69 whip. So I would say it's probably time for him to get a bit of a push here. And really just kind of cross our fingers that he stays healthy.
Yeah, I think there's a lot to be excited about with him there. If you wanted to put him as like the number one dude out of that draft class, I wouldn't shake a stick at that.
Yeah, that's actually what I did. I was actually texting with Jeff. He was like, I was like, man, I think there's like a case for him over Leiter. And he's like, yeah, man, I think I actually like him more than Leiter. And I was like, you know what? Like that's sort of where I was at in my gut and in my heart. And I was just like, look, Leiter's great, but like Gavin Williams types are the ones who just really get me excited.
It's very prototypical,
Yeah. Oh yeah. Like you've seen this before. Like you've seen this type of pitcher go on to become like a number one starter before. So the next guy, and again, I'm going to kind of go in order from your top 10 of basically sort of how I would value them at this moment in time in a dynasty, but this could change on my update that's coming here in a week or two. DJ Hers with the Cubs was kind of crazy in terms of missing bats last year. Had some, it kind of still has some control issues, but really like just what he has from a pure stuff standpoint. What did you see with Hers?
Yeah, so he was a guy that after last year, arrow pointing up, ready to hit some helium tanks if some things come together. And what I wanted to see from him most was just, better execution of pitches. Arsenal's there. He's got three pitches that can be really good. And what I loved about this outing and why he made the list, first time I watched him this year, And the secondary stuff showed, you know, very, in my opinion, was very spotted much better than I had seen at all last year. And he was throwing a lot of them, a lot of breaking balls, a lot of changeups. The fastball very much took a back seat. And, you know, ironically enough, it was the fastball that command that probably eluded him the most that day, which, you know, makes sense in some ways, too. To have your fat, you know, to have everything going right is difficult. And he's what? He's only 21, 22?
21, yeah.
21, yeah. But yeah, a guy that I think, you know, is the trajectory is nice right now.
Are you, you know, what's the level of relief risk concerns with him?
Yeah.
Still 15% walk rate.
Yeah. You know, anyone who, you know, and credit to Jeff Ponce and his podcast with the Double A Mariners coach. If you can't execute your best pitch at a very high level, you're risking your ability to start. So I would say for him, you know, I don't think he's there. I don't think he's there in terms of being able to do that. I don't think a lot of guys are totally there yet. But I think, like I said, I think he's headed in the right direction. But I would say, you know, it's his reliever risk, if you will, is as much as most, if that's a.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's
As much as Matt Brash, if you will.
It's completely, yeah. It's there's no shame in not being a perfect pitching prospect when you're 21 at high
right.
A, and
right.
I think it's. It's at least encouraging. Like if you're going to be walking that many guys, it's at least encouraging that seems to be basically the one thing he's got to fix. Like he seems to sort of have everything else ready to roll. There's time for him to improve that.
But, and I think one thing you have to be careful about with guys, particularly like him, where you see him actively working on some of his flaws. So, you know, perhaps that leads to a higher walk rate than you might want to see. But, you know, in my opinion, that's not a negative. I want to see him putting that work in and doing that. And so if it comes with some high A or double A walks, who cares?
Nice. All right. The next guy, and he's probably the most buzzy pitching prospect who was not a consensus top 100 prospect coming into the year is Ricky Tiedemann with the Blue Jays. Lots of well-deserved praise coming at him from all corners of the internet. What did you see from Tiedemann?
Yeah, so shout out, kudos to whoever it was on Twitter this offseason that was like, hey, look out for him. That was very undersold. Well done. You know, it was only five innings, but from a nice Bradenton angle. And, you know, he's a guy that, like, just kind of tests me at least. Like, all right, five innings, how excited do I want to get? Because I was getting pretty excited. You're talking – lefty with, you know, he's 19 years old, but he's, you know, he's kind of chiseled. He's got a body, linebacker-esque, you know, he's 6'4", whatever they got him listed at. Big fastball. And it wasn't like this, like, super feral fastball either, spotting it fairly well. And then you see this, you know, this big slider come out that's got, you know, some crazy-looking movement coming backdoor on the righties like crazy. And, you know, for a guy who, you know, talk about other 19-year-olds out there. I mean, I think you got to put him right up there with all of them. There's change up going on a little bit as well. Obviously I'd love to see more of him. I don't know how much we're going to get with him in that league, at least, you know, a guy like me just watching video, but, yeah, I think, you know, I don't want to go too crazy. But I guess I'm as crazy as I'll get.
Well, so what, I mean, are we, you said stack them up with like any other 19-year-old. I assume you're not talking quite like Uri Perez, Because to me, there's kind of like there's Uri Perez, and then there's the rest of the teenagers.
Yeah.
Is that fair, or would you even? Because I assume you're kind of, are you kind of talking like put them up with, you know, your Jackson Jobes and your Andrew Painters and your.
I don't think it's a crazy conversation to have. Like, it might sound like a crazy conversation, but again, I'm just going off of five innings, so I don't want to. But I mean, Perez is tricky too, because when I've watched him, it's been like not his greatest outings either. But that's fine, and you can, you know, you piece things together, and there's a lot of body and a lot of moving parts there with Perez, and he's gonna get bigger. I mean, obviously, I push comes to shove, I take Perez, but I don't think it's a crazy conversation, or it's going to be a conversation soon.
Yeah, I think with Perez, if I had him in a dynasty league, I think I would be just contemplating every week, like, is this the week that I unload him
in
a trade? because it's just, like you said, I mean, just so much can go wrong. There's so much hype surrounding him right now.
I mean, both those guys, neither of them are like these, you know, well-oiled machines that I'm going to put way more value on than a young guy like that. But yeah, I don't know. It'll be interesting to see.
Just quickly, I didn't say that I was going to ask you about him, but like Daniel Espino, are you? I know you were super high on him coming into the year.
Yeah, I'm a fan. I think he's got some crazy tools and he can use them well. I think he still has, you know, some work to do. But I love his athleticism. He's a guy that I don't think is shy of putting the work in. And, you know, when some of these guys graduate or whatever, I kind of have him lined up as the next.
I'm just trying to look up on the fly. I noticed he's only made four starts. I just want to make sure he's healthy.
No, I'm not 100% up to date, but he did leave a start with something.
Yeah. And that's, you know, I don't know. He's his body is so weird to me for he's on the IL. So he was placed on the 7-day IL. About a week ago. So that's a little concerning.
I think it was like a knee or something. I think it was like lower body. I don't know.
Okay.
Making up stories, but that's what I thought.
Am I crazy, or is his body just very, like, I can't think of any other starting pitchers who are like 6'2" with his sort of arms and legs and just how ripped he is. Like, it's just such a interesting physique for a starting pitcher.
I agree. I don't know if I can think of anybody.
I don't know if we just talked
about Tiedemann, though, could maybe end up looking like that.
Okay. Yeah, because I mean, like, do you have like a dream, like, starting pitchers, like, body? Because, like, for me, it's kind of like 6'4", like 200, athletic.
I don't know. I'm a fan of Lance Lynn's body.
I mean,
but I don't know. You know, I feel like I used to think about that more than I do now, especially when you got, like, you know, a guy like Jeff kind of talking to you about, you know, different release points and stuff like that. And you see, I think, more success with fastballs from smaller guys. I think it's, you know, I think it's something to think about. I think it's, you know, important, but I don't know if I really have a type anymore. I think I just want to see a guy making his pitches. And if that comes from, you know, a guy who's 5'11", okay, so be it. If it comes from a guy who's 6'6", okay, cool. But I'm just more open to that, I think, these days.
Yeah, totally. I don't put too much on it. I just think it's like I don't know, it's kind of like a nerdy, like if you've watched enough pitching prospects, I feel like
you. Now, I will say though, when I watch a guy like, I don't know, maybe Dre Jameson, who isn't like the biggest dude in the world, and it's like this sort of max effort looking thing, you know, I think about that. I don't know how much I love that sort of
thing. How would you compare Dre Jameson to like Shane McClanahan?
Like
in terms of just sort of the body and the effort and stuff like that.
Yeah. Man, I don't know. I mean, I think how tall is McClanahan? He's bigger, isn't he?
Yeah, I guess he's 6'1".
Yeah. I think there's a little bit, I think there's less effort in McClanahan, isn't there?
I think there is, like, I think there is now.
Sort of thing. I don't know about in the shoulder and the arm. I'm not that smart to think about that stuff, but.
Well, I do remember like there was a time when McClanahan was drafted, where a lot of, some evaluators, not even necessarily good evaluators, were saying there was like a lot of bullpen risk there because of his size. And effort.
Yeah. I don't know. I kind of think we're just getting smarter than that. And I don't think that's really, you know, I don't know.
Yeah. And I mean, if there could be, you know, if everyone could just have Alek Manoah's body, I would be fine with that too. I mean, that guy's ready to eat innings.
Yeah. How would you define him body wise? Is he strong? Is he ripped? Is he portly? What would you call him?
I just think he's a horse.
A big human, right?
Yeah. He's not. I don't think he's out of shape at all. Like, I think he was always going to be a big boy, like no matter what he did, no matter what he put in his body. And it's sort of, it's healthy for him, I think, to be as big as he is. Like, it's not I don't know if you've seen Michael Pineda like pitch this year at all, but like he's 40, 50 pounds overweight right now.
Yeah.
But I like, to me, Manoah is like the right size for what he should be right now. As a starting pitcher.
Yeah, he's a big guy.
Okay, let's talk about the guy you have your most impressive outing that you've seen so far this year, and this was in your most recent article.
Yeah,
Darius Vines at AA in Atlanta's farm system. What did you see from Vines?
I saw a video game, more or less. I kind of caught a few innings of him here and there, but didn't like really dive into it. But this outing, so he's got a mid-90s fastball. I think it's probably more of a sinker, I think. He's got a good downward breaking ball and a changeup. And all three of those pitchers were working. All three of them were giving guys no chance. He went seven batters in a row, seven strikeouts in a row on 30 pitches. 23 of them were strikes. And really, if it wasn't for a blunder by Trey Harris, and I mean, I don't want to say a guy should have robbed the home run, but Michael Harris should have robbed the home run.
You got the glove on it, right?
Yeah. He's flirting with perfection there. I mean, that was a pretty as perfect of an outing as I watched, even regardless of the three runs at the end or whatever. He might have ran out of steam a little bit, but like I said, he could have had some help and kept zeros up.
That's such a valuable thing that you get from putting in the time in that you put in, because you could very easily just see like, oh, you know, 6 1/3, 3 earned runs. He had the 11 strikeouts, but you know, like he might have had some things to work on there. But you're basically saying, like, I watched this outing. He did everything he was supposed to do, and the hitters didn't really have much of a chance.
No.
So no. That was clearly his best start of the year, though.
I guess. I mean, like I said, he wasn't a guy that I reviewed last year, and it was really this plus a few other innings is all I've seen from him. So I don't know how consistent he is with everything, but I mean, if he shows to be consistent like that, I don't care. He just turned 24 in AA, but I mean, if he pitches like that, that's you want that guy.
Yeah, and Atlanta's done a pretty solid job in terms of developing guys.
Yeah, I trust them.
And yeah, he's 24. He's at AA. So if definitely a guy to keep an eye on. I don't know if he's a guy to rush out and add unless right. you're in a deeper league. But
right. I want to see more before I get, you know, sound the alarms.
Andrew Abbott has generated a ton of buzz with the Reds organization. It seems to me to be kind of a guy that needs a push. I actually don't know if he's still at high A, but if he is still at high A,
he just got promoted.
Oh, he did. Okay, great. Yeah. So yeah, I mean, what do you think about the stuff? Like, is he as good as his numbers at high A would lead people to believe?
I mean, yeah. I still want to see, you know, obviously he's punching below his weight there. Mm-hmm. But I mean, you want to talk, you know, pressure is a really big thing that I don't think it's talked about a lot. Like, that guy is just relentlessly putting pressure on the hitters. His catcher puts down the sign, whatever it is, he's going to throw it, and he is executing all three pitches, you know, at a very high level. I told Welsh I got to be a little bit careful because he gives me some Mark Burley vibes, and I love Burley, and I guess I brought him up twice now. But more, you know, more velocity and you know, a little bit more juice than MB was working with. But, you know, that type of guy where just the hitter is on his heels the whole time. And he's, you know, he's a, you know, quote, advanced guy. He's got a lot of amateur experience, Team USA and, you know, college and all that stuff. I obviously you want to see how the stuff plays against better hitters, but I mean, if I'm laying a bet, I think it plays well. As in a lot of ways, very much my kind of guy.
How good is the stuff? Like, I mean, do you know the velocity at all?
Yeah, I think if I remember correctly, I think his fastball was sitting about 93, 94. Remind you, it's from the left side, so you know. Mm. The changeup looked, you know, looked pretty good. Guys weren't hitting it. It was fading away. And you know, the breaking ball looked pretty sharp. You know, I'd love to get, and I'm sure, you know, someone like Jeff would be able to get you some goodies there. But, you know, just his ability to spot all three of those at the same time, is like, that doesn't have to be off the charts, you know, stuff to work well. But I think there's a chance that some of those are probably generating some pretty good metrics.
Yeah, that's always the breaking ball is always key with a guy like that, because, you know, you can be a lefty with fastball and changeup is going to dominate in the lower levels, even without that breaking ball. Right.
But what I liked about him too is that either side of the played hitter, he was throwing the whole sink at him.
Nice. So the next guy I want to ask you about, Gordon Graceffo, in the Cardinals org. This guy you mentioned to me unprompted. You were just like, Graceffo, they got a steal in him. Then I watched a little bit of him and I was like, yeah, I'm digging this. What's the deal with Gordon Graceffo?
Yeah. So, shout out to my friend at Prospect Report, who was trying to tell me this off season. I wish I would have listened more. You were talking about I was talking with my friend SPP in this league. Well, how do we define Graceffo's body? And I think it was very similar to our Manoah conversation. He's a big guy. but, you know, fastball you can see that outing that I watched. It wasn't even a very good angle, but, I mean, you could see pitch movement even from there. Fastball that looks, you know, it's got the riding movement that everybody loves. Curveball, slider, changeup, just all doing their thing. And he's throwing them all for strikes. He's filling up the zone, all parts of the zone, from what I could tell. And really, the only guy that had a chance against him was Sal Frelick. And I don't, you know, that makes sense.
Right. Yeah, I think.
Yeah, I want to see him. Let's get him up against some better hitters and see how this goes.
I loved his kind of competitiveness and his his tempo out there.
Yeah, he's got some fire. And I made a little joke that he's kind of like Bull Bull from Mike Tyson's Punch Out. He's kind of like charging at you when he starts his wind up.
Yeah, no, he is. He is. Yeah. Which is that's fun. You know, it's fun watching guys with unique deliveries like that.
Yeah, I like guys who pitch with some fire too. I dig that.
Yeah, I do too. I think it's sort of a window into their personality and like makeup a little bit. Like it's, you have to be so mentally strong to make it as a big league starting pitcher. And you just, it's not for the faint of heart, you know? So I like seeing that in young guys.
No doubt.
So we're running a little long. Do you want to, is there anyone else from this top 10 that you think we need to touch on? I skipped over Victor Juarez. I know that you are a Rockies follower, but I don't think we need to spend time talking about a Rockies pitcher prospect on this pod. What about the other guys?
I would just I think Zach Thompson is super interesting this year. You know, he was a former first round pick of the Cardinals last year. I reviewed him and it just, you know, his fastball was like 88 miles per hour and the stuff was not crisp and, you know, it just wasn't good. I don't know if injury or whatever, but this year he seems to be back. The fastball is hitting like 95, 96, I think. I watched this was a triple A outing and, you know, first time through the lineup, I think he had like 5 Ks on a curveball. And the second time through, he was just overpowering guys with the fastball, commanding stuff really well, attacking different ways. Maybe a guy who's finally showing that first round pedigree.
Yeah, no, that's a good call. Just because he could be relevant this season. I think, you know, Liberatore is the one that everyone's talking about, but. Wasn't that long ago that Zach Thompson was like a top 200 ish guy. So,
I was impressed. And I think, last time I checked, I think his overall stats on the season are looking pretty decent.
Yeah, they are. Yeah. Yep. And, again, that's a tough, league to pitch in. So, let's, quickly, like, I know that you mentioned, like, obviously if you're going to spend all this time watching all these pitching prospects, you're inevitably gonna, and you, these are the, those were the 10 guys that you were sort of pleasantly surprised by. Who are a few that people are maybe getting pretty excited about that when you watched a start of theirs, you left kind of unconvinced?
So I did Brahm Bayo's no hitter, 7-inning no hitter from last week. I know he's a guy who's like, you know, getting a lot of attention, and I think deservedly so. Plenty of arsenal, but you know, talk about a guy who's just kind of loosely throwing stuff up at the plate. I very much get that feel from him. Not quite as sold on him long term as maybe some folks are. And another guy that I know, this probably won't be that popular, but I struggled to get on board with Kyle Harrison. There's no doubt that, you know, that fastball from that angle and that breaking ball are deadly. But I was really kind of disappointed when I watched him this year, because I was kind of hoping for, you know, some sort of development. You know, last year whipping those two pitches up there, it was working great. And then this year, you know, I was hoping maybe, and I know people talk about a changeup. I mean, James, I don't really know if I've ever seen one, but I might just be blind. But it was just kind of the same attack, you know, those two big pitches is kind of loosely thrown up there. And yeah, it's getting like, you know, good, decent results and stuff, but he's also pretty inefficient. You know, I think he only lasted 4 innings, and I know he's 20 years old and he's young. And of course he can grow. But until I start seeing some, like, I don't know, a little bit more diversity or things tightening up, I can't get totally on board with him quite yet. And,
yeah, that's, no, I mean, he's pretty fascinating, because there's a lot to really, really, really like, you know, like the,
and I know he kills like pitch metric stuff. I'm sure he's like off the charts with some of that stuff.
And it's just the Giants probably top three org in terms of getting the most out of a pitcher. And,
And I don't, you know, I totally understand putting value on a talent like that. Which, you know, is just part of my offseason stuff is I want to try to value the projectable stuff maybe a little bit less, because there is so much talent out there and there is so many opportunities. I don't know if I need to like hold on to Harrison. I'm going to miss out on him. You know, there's going to be guys like that. But, you know, you see these, I just kind of get like sort of a plastic attack sort of feel from him, you know, similar to why I was reluctant with you know, Brash and those other kind of two pitch guys with, you know, big breaking ball, big fastball. But where's, you know, it's not real sophisticated.
Well, that's, I mean, that's what I wanted to hear, though. I mean, that's, it's easy for everyone to just pump up the same guys and everything like that.
yeah. But, and, you know, like I said, I hope he proves me wrong.
Well, yeah, he's got plenty of time to do so, but, you know, good sort of status check on where Kyle Harrison is. Nate, this has been awesome. Why don't you just let people know again where they can sort of follow your stuff and where they can follow you on Twitter?
Yeah, for sure. Thanks for having me. This was fun. I'm on Twitter at Pitching Specs. My stuff is published on Pitcher List Monday mornings.
Absolutely. Keep up the good work, man. This is such a cool kind of niche that you've carved out. And I think more people should be sort of following along to what you're doing and following your stuff on Twitter, because I think you've quickly become one of the go-to pitching prospect evaluators out there. And it's all because of the hard work you put in. It's not easy. If it was easy, everyone would do it. And really appreciate you putting that time in for people like me who don't have the time to watch all these guys.
If it wasn't for video editing, I could watch so much more. But those little 20-second videos take a lot of time, James. And it's hard because the stuff I try to point to or whatever, there's not like numbers to kind of try to get at, you know, you just got to kind of show it. So thank you. I appreciate you appreciating that.
Well, and I mean, I think it's good to sort of stay in your kind of wheelhouse, right? Like, I mean, there's like Jeff is so good at understanding and conveying, you know, the advanced kind of different stuff with pitches and all that type of stuff.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's not for everyone, you know, not everyone can approach it that way. And I think the way that you break things down with the videos, I think it's just very sort of user friendly and easy to kind of access. So keep it up, man. Really appreciate you taking the time.